Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What happens when love challenges the oldest traditions in the universe? Author Johnny Littlejohn Jr. joins me to discuss the legendary Toran Crema, Forbidden Escapades, an imaginative blend of science fiction, high fantasy, and cosmic romance. The story follows two celestial beings whose forbidden relationship forces them to choose between destiny and desire. Johnny shares the inspiration behind creating the world of Toran Crema, how Japanese animation and fantasy storytelling shaped his creative vision, and why he believes authors should never be afraid to build worlds that challenge convention. If you're a fan of original fantasy novels, science fiction, anime-inspired storytelling, and independent authors, this is an interview you won't want to miss. A pleasure to welcome visionary, creator, philosopher, and author of the imaginative fantasy novella, The Legendary Toran Crema, Forbidden Escapades, Johnny Littlejohn Jr., to This Week in America. Johnny, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Mr. Rick Brad. I appreciate it very much.
I am looking forward to discussing this world that you have created. What is the Legendary Toran Crema based off of? How did you get this idea? What's the inspiration?
It's based off of astrology and a lot of esoteric and cryptid aspects. Now, as for example, Toran Crema is based off of the star sign Taurus. So I was born May 11th, 1990. So I fall under the star sign Taurus. So I basically just took the word Taurus and basically played around with certain letters and formed Toran Crema as a result.
A very creative approach to creating this fantasy world. I'm so fascinated by what you've done and how you go about creating. You got a clean slate. You can build whatever world you want. This is Johnny's world that you're creating. We'll talk about that as we go through the interview. What compelled you to write an erotica story between two main characters? And I'll talk about it as well as you have an interesting approach to erotica. Why did you decide to go in this direction?
I initially didn't really want to do it because I was already in the midst of writing an epic. So I wanted to basically pause and basically produce something short. So I basically took the two main characters, have them be a love interest toward one another, and then get back to my epic. But since this kind of drew a lot of attention from certain people, and I've gotten interviews as well as you as a result, I'm like, well, okay, let me pause for a minute and basically go in this direction for a minute. And what compelled me to do so is because that there's more to love than just, you know, bedroom action and this, that, and the third. You know, certain people who are married, they basically got that from, they start at a certain point and then they're going to end at a certain point. Some things might bode well, some things might not. It just depends on the circumstances and the people involved. But between New Zealand and Serenity, it basically was destined to happen.
Well, it really adds to the storyline. The name of the book, once again, is The Legendary Toran Crema, Forbidden Escapades. I'll spell that out for you so you can get to Johnny's website, get information on the book there as well. We've got a video that's playing on our video, the book over there as well. Johnny Littlejohn Jr. is the author. What draws Serenity towards Musila, and what draws Musila towards Serenity? It's a very important part of the story. It's a key part of the story. What draws them to each other?
Serenity has always looked over, or she's like a guardian of sorts, of a spiritual, celestial realm. But she didn't know about him until maybe sometime during the course of her own personal journey, which I might get to later on in the series. As I said, she's like a guardian of sorts, so she basically looks out for everyone, but him in particular, since he's like more than just a high-value man or high-value male, he basically stands up because he has this power, this charisma, and just the overall vibe about him. But at that particular point, he wasn't inhabiting her realm at that point. He was somewhere else, but she somehow knew he existed. And And then when eventually he comes to her realm, what drew her, what drew Drusilla towards Serenity is that he basically helps her, she helps him at his lowest point, which I wrote a screenplay about. It's based essentially the screenplay leads up to what happens in the novel. So she helps him at his lowest point, and he sees her as reliable, compassionate, and basically a person or a being that's worth ruling the realm she governs.
It really, as you watch the relationship between the two, I mentioned in the beginning forbidden relationship. Why is their relationship forbidden? What is it about their relationship that the people don't want to see happen?
Well, since Serenity is powerful and Drusilla is powerful, you basically put two of these powerful beings together, and they basically believe they, it's basically revolves around superstition. You put two powerful beings together, and their offspring or whatever the case may be is going to be more of a force than the parents,
Yes.
and that's basically what some of the beings are skeptical of. Basically, a recipe for disaster. It's kind of like chemistry. You put too many strong chemicals together, boom.
Well, yes.
It's over.
A little
So
explosive action there. I can see that. And you watch all of this unfold in Johnny's story, The Legendary Turon Krima. The book is available. And if you go to Johnny's website, you'll get that information. Let me do it now, and then I'll do it again towards the end. The Legendary Turon Krima.com. And I'll spell that for you. TauranCrima.com. The Legendary Turon Krima.com. I'll spell that again for you. TauranCrima. And we've got that on our website. We've made this easy for you. You go to our website, click on the link, and it'll take you directly to Johnny's website and get information on the book there. Serenity and Musila are star beings. Are star beings godlike entities? Explain who these characters are, what they are.
They are indeed godlike entities, and they are extremely powerful. But I have dealt yet to delve into a fraction of their power. I have in the screenplay, but not in the book. It's like with the screenplay, I'd rather showcase it once the film is greenlit among other things than to actually just give people words. I want to show them action. I want to be more visual. So yes, they are indeed godlike entities, and that's one of the reasons why they're people. They're called star beings, but their actual name is called the Mythikons. It's because they exist in a far-off universe that's named after them, A11 Mythikaya. They don't exist in our solar system. They exist somewhere else. So that tells you how powerful they are if they have their own solar system named after them.
Yes, that's power when you're able to do something like that. You've mentioned several times, let's talk about it. What are your plans for this story, The Legendary Turon Krima Forbidden Escapades? Do you see this as a series of short stories? You've mentioned a screenplay several times. How do you see the story progressing? Because obviously there's a lot more there. You've mentioned what you'd like to do. You mentioned what you've done with the screenplay. What are your long-term plans for this story? Because you're onto something here.
I definitely want to see animation. That's definitely a given, given how I basically got one last year, and it's on my website. As soon as people click on the page, they can see the animation. So that's definitely a possibility. And I also want to get into video games, whether it's a role play or a 3D adventure with Mozilla going on a quest to basically a collectathon or something like that, something like Mario or something like that, because I'm a big fan of him. So maybe he could go on a journey and collect things to unlock certain things. I don't know, but that's definitely a possibility too. Video games, and I basically started off with the written word as in like with this book, but I had other possibilities in mind because I'm just so fluid and inspired. So I don't want to just stay in one zone. I want to go everywhere.
You know, and that's reflected
that's how passionate I am about this.
Well, in your writing, and I can tell in your passion, this is not just a one story, okay, I'm done with it, I'm going to move on to something else. You've got something here with the world that you've created, with the characters that you've created. This is just the beginning. The legendary Tauran Krima, Forbidden Escapades. Our guest is the author, Johnny Littlejohn Jr. So much there. You mentioned growing up with Japanese animation. Talk about the influence of that. And I know Super Mario is special to you. You've said that's the only character that you've admired since you were a child. Who are the influences? What are the influences that created who you are today creatively?
Well, thanks to Shigeru Miyamoto-san, the creator of Super Mario. You know, I basically take a lot of inspiration from him, because if it wasn't for Mario, I don't know. I mean, it's a possibility, because I do believe in destiny to a certain extent. It's a possibility I still could be on this road, but sometimes you have to have an outside source to bring you full circle. It doesn't happen overnight. So, you know, things are gonna happen when they happen. But thanks to a man like him, of his vast intelligence and the team that actually helped him with his vision and further bring it to life.
Yes.
40 plus years. Yeah, that basically says a lot, and I look up to somebody like that, because they help. They're still actively helping me in a sense. Like,
if somebody,
I'm really grateful to somebody.
And that's reflected in your work. And if somebody's listening that's a fan of fantasy and what you're doing, the world that you've created, I think they're beginning to realize this is a little different than a lot of the fantasy books that are out there. What makes your story unique? Because it really is, isn't it? You go to some levels that we haven't seen before.
Well, I wanted to come up with my own language, my own universe, just basically take certain aspects of the real world and kind of flip it. It's like, I might be a fantasy writer, a high fantasy writer, but I like to have it grounded too. I don't want to just have everything all over the place, have things just floating all over the place and nothing makes sense. I want to have this universe grounded in a sense. It's going to be complicated, so I have to level things, basically tone things, maybe not tone it down per se, maybe that's not the right word, but have it in a the average layman could possibly get it, but I could still explain it in a way where they can understand it, but still have the complexity of this universe still stand on its own without having to dumb it down too much, is what I'm trying to say.
How difficult now, is it to write this because of that? You have it so it's relatable, we can read it, we can enjoy it. That probably didn't happen in the first draft. You had to probably go back and craft this so you got this to the point where it's for the reader. It's reader friendly, basically. What are the challenges in writing something like this and creating it? It's a whole new world that you're creating, but you have to make it believable for us.
You asked what were the challenges, Mr.
Yeah, what are the challenges in doing that and going back and like, okay, I understand this, but is the average reader going to be able to understand this? I have to make it so they can connect things and follow the story and make it pleasurable for them.
Well, for me at this point, it's really not that much of a challenge anymore. Now, perhaps I started writing, let me see, was this 2026, Mr. Rick? So I started my first book like 13 years ago. So I wasn't, like, back then I wasn't even remotely close to where I am now. So back then it would have been complicated to even fathom something like this. Now, no, I really think I've really reached a point where I could just conjure up anything and have it make sense. But for the average person, as I just mentioned, I'm going to have to not tone it down, but put it in layman's terms, so to speak. Where, okay, me as the creator, I understand it. But as far as the layman's terms, I have to use terms where they can understand it, but still have it in a way where, okay, maybe as they further digest my material, they'll kind of gradually understand where me as the creator coming from. I mean, it's kind of hard to put into words. I don't know if I'm explaining this
no,
the right
I understand.
Way.
Yeah,
viewers can get it, but I'm trying.
Well, I understand what you're saying. That's what makes what you're doing so special. The book is the legendary Taran Creamer. The author is our guest on the program, Johnny Littlejohn Jr. Let's talk about, in reading about you, you were not big on writing in high school, but you evolved as a storyteller. How did that happen? You got from the point where I'm really not thinking about being a writer to, okay, now I'm a successful writer and we're working on a screenplay and video games and all of this other. What was that evolution like for you? Where did this storytelling passion come from?
To be honest with you, Mr. Rick, I have no idea. Because as I said, maybe this was always destined to happen, but as a child, like elementary school, middle school, it didn't register. But when high school came around, maybe I had that inkling, but it was still buried underneath, you know, societal expectations, peer pressure, among other things. So maybe that inkling started then, but it was still buried under a lot of things. But I think in certain classes, as I started, you know, undertaking creative writing and all types of other summaries or stories that was assigned to us students, I think that's when it started bubbling up. It started not just rooting, but it started blossoming like a flower, a lotus. I'm like, okay, I still wasn't too keen then. I'm like, okay, it's blossoming, but it's not still registering yet. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it's there, but it's not fully realized yet.
And it has over the years, and the result is what we've seen now. It has to be quite satisfying to be able to command the presence that you do and getting the reviews that you have for your work. And this book is the legendary Taran Creamer, Forbidden Escapades. Our guest is Johnny Littlejohn Jr. His website is thelegendarytarancreamer.com. That's TaranCreamer.com. And we've got the link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You're a daydreamer, a visionary. You decided to go out and carve your own niche in the world. You're not going to follow somebody else. You're going to do something your way. You've developed your own creativity. Talk about that. And what would you say to others who would like to follow that, but they feel like I have to do what conventionally has always been done? I have to follow this format as I'm presenting my story. Talk about the challenge of going out and doing it Johnny's way, and you've done it successfully.
Well, as you can clearly see, I don't really fit the bill for normality. So, I mean, trust me, this wasn't an overnight process, Mr. Rick. It took a lot of internal work. I think it's a saying of spirituality. Was it the dark night of the soul, where you basically just stripped down spiritually, and you have to face everything that you were skeptical of, whether that's peer pressure, bullying, among other things that the world constantly throws at you in order to crush you. And that took a lot of internal work. This wasn't an overnight process for me. But now I'm just like, it still gets irritating when some people may misunderstand where I'm coming from, but that's just the way it is. It's like, it's irritating sometimes, but it's like, well, you see it your way, I see it my way. Maybe it's been that way since the dawn of time. But some people just have a very messed up way of going about it as far as being in disagreement with certain things. And that's not what I'm about. I'm about resolution. If you're going to be stuck in a certain zone, I can't help you if you don't want to be helped. You can't teach those who don't want to be taught. So I can only say what has to be said and leave it alone. You can take it how you want. I can still be taught. I'm not acting like I know everything. No, absolutely not. I can still be taught by somebody wiser than myself. Yeah, I'm talking about those who just vastly ignorant. That's just don't want to know anything because they're stuck in a certain rut. I can explain certain things to them, but it's up to them whether or not they want to digest it. You have millions of people across the globe. I only have to look out for my best interest, but still be mindful, okay, I'm not hurting anybody, so I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yes.
They could take what I say and leave it alone or take it what it is.
Reading your story.
Internal work, basically.
Well, yes, and when you read your story, the word perseverance keeps coming up, that you persevered, you went forward believing in yourself and the story and the world you wanted to create. Perseverance, is that a word that's very important to somebody who's creative, who is going to put their material out there? When you put something out there, everybody is a judge. Everybody's got a keyboard. Everybody's got a thought. Everybody's got an opinion. How important is perseverance? Because you're not going to have 100% acceptance.
Perseverance, you can add conviction to that too.
Ah, yes.
It may sound like stubbornness, but sometimes you're going to need that edge, because the world doesn't care. Certain people might care, but for how long? That's not me being pessimistic or nihilistic. It's just me, like I said, I might be a fantasy writer, but I have some realism about me. So that's why I said internal work. You're going to have to find that perseverance. It's not going to be easy. It's not. But on the other side of that, you have to have courage and definitely conviction. Like, you have to have some underlying things, concrete things, basically commandments, so to speak. Now, things can fluctuate over time, because as we get older, we might change certain aspects about ourselves.
Yes.
But at the same time, that has to be certain things that have to be put in stone, so to speak. Like, those are aspects that you're not going to budge on. Basically, healthy commandments. I mean, I don't want nobody to misunderstand. Healthy commandments, things that you're not going to budge on.
You're known for and been praised for the vivid storytelling, the richly detailed world building, the creative narratives that you use. Talk about pulling all of those together and how challenging it is and how much fun it is to bring all of those together, because you've got all three elements going in your favor in your work, and you seem to have mastered all three of those. How difficult is that, to build the characters and put them in the world where they will flourish?
What elements are you referring to again?
Well, the storytelling, the vivid storytelling, the characters, that come to life. You know, we don't know these people. They're different than we are, but we feel like we do as we're reading the story. The world that you've created, far different than our world, but we are drawn into that world. And the narratives, the story makes us think as well as just enjoy the narrative that you have created. How was it weaving all of that together? And I would think that would be, from a creative standpoint, extremely pleasurable, because you are creating this whole new world and characters for all of us to enjoy.
Well, at this point in my life, I very find it pleasurable. I very find it enlightening, so to speak, because as I write, I delve more, not just into the world I'm building or the universe I'm building, but I learn more about myself as well. And hopefully the people who engage in my work, whether it's something written or animated-wise or video game-wise, they actually get the gist of what I'm trying to convey. Now, certain people may not resonate with my work, and that's fine, because me, as a consumer, there's certain things that I don't partake in as well. There's certain things that I just back off from, because it doesn't resonate with me on the underlying issues. Like certain things, like certain comedy, I may not resonate with certain comedy or certain... I don't indulge, because it doesn't resonate with me on a fundamental level. So I don't deal with it. So therefore, I just I build and build and build until I come up with something that's my own. And I take my life experiences and have certain characters maybe go through certain struggles. Maybe somebody, besides the magical or the other aspects pertaining to the universe, they may relate to a certain extent about their struggles, and they may be able to relate to certain achievements. It's just certain things, again, combining fantasy with realism. I want things to be grounded in this universe, not all over the place, as I mentioned before.
Well, you've done a wonderful job with this. In reviews, they talk about, they label it as unique, passionate, thought-provoking, mesmerizing cosmic romance. All of that is there in Johnny's book, The Legendary Toran Crema, Forbidden Escapades, his website. All the information there, and you'll be very well entertained and informed as well when you go to the website, thelegendarytorancrema.com. That's Tauran CREIMA.com. We have that on our website. Go to thisweekinamerica.us and click on the link, and we'll take you directly there. Johnny, congratulations on your success so far. So much more out there with video games and movies and future books. Looking forward to following your career, hopefully being able to talk about it again. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program.
Absolutely, Mr. McBride. Thank you very much for having me on.
It has been our pleasure. Johnny Littlejohn Jr. has been our guest, and we'd like to thank Christian Works Media for arranging our conversation today. Dream Big and Succeed, dedicated to helping authors to promote their creativeness and their services. ChristianWorksMedia.com. And you can listen to this program and all of our programs on 28 podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Odyssey, Audible, Google, and many more. Of course, on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and many others. And don't forget, while you're there, to like, comment, and subscribe for more inspiring conversations.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.